unless you have that friend with the military equipment. I got to a resonant point on the VNA at 17 meters, yet the tuner in the 7300 wouldn't tune it, but the SWR sweep in the 7300 said I was at 1-to-1, so I don't know why the tuner wouldn't tune it. Maybe there is an answer. Do you have any idea about that?
Well, that's a strange one. If it reads a 1-to-1, then it's, theoretically it should be a 50 ohm, and 50 ohm shouldn't even need the antenna tuner. Did you try just bypassing the antenna tuner for the heck of it?
Oh, I did. I did, and it was giving me good SWR readings. But then, just for the heck of it, I went to tune the antenna with the internal tuner of the 7300, and it wouldn't tune it. Don't know why. It just wouldn't tune it. Is it possible if you have a 1-to-1 match, the antenna tuner just doesn't work?
Yeah. Auto antenna tuners have a setting for at what kind of a mismatch does it trigger its correction circuit. And they definitely are all set for higher than 1-to-1. So if you take an automatic antenna tuner and you supply it a signal that has an SWR of 1-to-1, it'll just sit there. It's not going to tune away and then tune back. It simply won't tune because it's getting the best signal it can get. And, I mean, there are people who kind of set that setting at different points. Some set it at 1.4. Some people set it at 1.2. But certainly at 1, you're not going to get much action from an auto tuner.
That's probably what was happening. The only thing is I had to turn off the radio and then turn it back on every time I wanted to do another sweep. The 7300, just in terms of SWR, just dies if it sees something it doesn't like. And maybe 1-to-1 is something that it doesn't like to see, like you said, Roy, in terms of the antenna tuner. Anyway, with that, I will I'll rely on the VNA and the 7300 sweep and not worry about why the antenna tuner wouldn't engage at that frequency and at that SWR. Anyway, Wesley, thank you. I'll be clear, W2BC. Thanks, Roy.
You're welcome, Rich. I appreciate your participation. If you have free time, and you look up the manual for your antenna tuner and see if it has any setting to adjust for lowest level of SWR that it will scan for. Because, mine certainly have that setting, and I think yours does too. So it'll give you a little bit better insight into how the antenna tuner operates.
Okay, I don't remember seeing it. I read the manual through once, but I'll certainly look now. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Rich, and on to you, Wesley. What's your topics for tonight?
Thank you very much. The first one is delete news continues. If you had a time to look at my emails, would you mind to explain it to the audience?
If you could talk either a little louder to the mic or raise the gain, because you're talking very softly, and I'd like everyone to hear you. I saw it. I was very bored by it. A couple of guys, I'm sure they're wonderful people. They have 1,400 people that subscribe to their YouTube, so I think they think they're something. I was kind of bored by the whole presentation. All it really amounts to is they have no idea what the FCC is planning. I tend to think, hopefully, if we're very lucky, they're not even thinking about us. Nevertheless, most people apparently responded were amateur radio operators because, broadcasters and others such have better ways of talking to the FCC. They take them out for dinner and buy them a yacht or a jet or something. They came up with this goofy idea of two licenses classes instead of three. I tell you, I was bored by the whole thing, especially because I got halfway into the YouTube that you sent me, and they had yet to actually repeat the idea. They just alluded to it from a previous YouTube. So do I want a two-class system? Not particularly. Does the FCC save anything, really, with a two-license system? I don't think enough to warrant them changing anything. Besides, they don't really do anything but maintain a database. It's the ARRL and all the V guys that have to handle the headache of exams and grading and licensing and such. So I was kind of bored by it.
Okay. Am I coming out right now good?
It's fine, but your amplitude is rather low.
Okay. You don't hear. We switch to the radio. Okay, I'm back on the radio. Hold on. Okay, how am I coming now?
That's better.
Okay. Okay. There are proposed two changes to amateur radio licensing. It is suggested to have a two classes, entry-level tax ticket, and the second group is all privileges. So the guys who have a general class would have extra class privileges, and it was elevated to the FCC level. So whether this is boring or it's not boring, it is on its way. What is your comment?
It's not on its way. It's these two guys' idea that they're promoting. Big deal. It'll be on its way if the FCC cares one way or the other. And when the FCC speaks, I'll listen. When these two guys speak, I got better things to do with my time.
Okay, thank you very much for that comment. The next one, DXFT8, HFFT8 tablet receiver, transceiver. It's a transceiver in form of the tablet, and it's being called FT8 for SOTA interface with USDX transceiver. There is a video of it. If you go to the channel WB2CBA, again WB2CBA, you're going to see that tablet transceiver. And it was done by Barb. So the guy says about himself, my name is Barbaros Asurgulu, aka Barb. By profession, I am a civil structural engineer with passion for microcontrollers and DIY QRP transceivers. So this one, if somebody's interested, it is ready to buy and ready to have and to exchange. Okay. The next one. This is for Dr. Roy. How radar in space can see land disasters and no clouds? So in other words, if you imagine to have parabolic antenna for low frequencies, it's got to be quite big, and you cannot have such a structure elevated to the space. So we have something like synthetic aperture radar, SAR, and Dr. Roy, mic back to you.
Jeez. A synthetic aperture radar is just a fancy way of extending the capability of microwave radar systems. You know, there's a kind of a version similar as far as radio telescopes go. In order to kind of reach the distances that we have needed to go, you would need a radio telescope as big as the Earth. But you can play spatial games with things. You can take a whole bunch of scattered radio telescopes covering the globe and link them together and treat them as a single operating telescope that's much, much, much bigger. In the case of a synthetic aperture, you are manifesting a larger antenna aperture than the satellite is capable of portraying, except through time. If you take multiple pictures of scans as it crosses its orbit, you can then merge all of the different time-coded images and effectively make the radar satellite operate as though it had a much wider wider aperture. That's why it's called a synthetic aperture, because it's not a physical aperture that the satellite's antenna and frequency produces, but it's a sort of pseudo aperture based on collecting different time stamps. And by looking at amplitude, by looking at the time delay of reflections, by looking at the phase differences of the reflections, by looking at the polarization angle of the reflections, you could discern a lot of detail with a relatively high orbital satellite. So SAR radars are a wonderful technology that's been developed over time to improve and increase the ability to discern things on the Earth's surface by way of microwave radar devices.
Thank you very much. If the curvature of the ground is rough, but
well, I mean, one of the things it does is it reads reflections. And so if you have a large body of water that's calm, most of the incident angles will be away from the radar. So it will appear as a black image. If it's particularly turbulent, those waveforms will give it all kinds of different incident angles for the reflection, and some of them will be reflected back into the radar, and those will show up as white, you know, shaded perturbations on the black, steady water. So there's a lot of different ways to interpret readings through an SAR. Some of them require shortening the pulse frequency. Some require merging the time stamp signals, and others kind of use algorithms to deal with the time stamp to discern motion and speed. So there's a lot of different tricks that you can play with SAR data.
And to HGN. Actually, yesterday, one of the Russian giants, it was 1770, they were supposed to go far away into the space and go to see what's going on Saturn and fall down. And we were lucky enough that the giant, Russian giant, didn't go on New York. It should burn 500 kilograms is 1,000 pounds of the Russian giant. It fall to the ocean, so we're talking about it. The next one, QRP Labs. So QRP Labs is actually the name of another transceiver. QRP Labs is QMS SSB firmware that is making was the radio, so radio, on the radio you have QRP Labs, and then it says QMX plus transceiver. Okay. And that one is QRP. There is a video under the title QRP Labs, QMX, this is B firmware. It's real. And you can find that if you are interested with that. So they have made an update on May 2nd, 2025. And that radio is for sale. If you want to, or you have a radio, you can update that radio. Okay. Another one, Tesla cells have collapsed in Sweden. It is actually about the Wiggett for the antenna analyzer, not about Tesla, but somehow the two things come together. Okay. Sweden is unitary state with 20 countries and 290 municipalities. Stretch across impressive land of area, one of the largest countries in Europe, and Tesla sold only 203 cars in April 2025, but mostly it was 203 cars because those cars were prepaid before, long before, even before President Trump. Actually, not American cars, but one particular car, which is a Tesla car, and it looks like they're even talking about a total ban of Tesla cars, but that's the rumor, so we don't know exactly how that's going to be. And interesting thing is that Ukraine, of course, is in Europe, and Ukraine makes the antenna analyzer rig expert that we buy here in USA. And the company was founded in 2003 by Ukraine radio amateurs Sergei Litvinov, UX1UA, and Denis Nehaitov, UR8US. Nikolai Furosev, UT2US, and Viktor Tkachenko. So all of those guys who created Rig Expert are quite recognized as a brand worldwide, and it's interesting to know that it is being made in Ukraine, and Ukraine is under heavy occupation, part of it of Russia. Okay, another one. FESZ, F-E-S-Z, or FESZ Electronics. Now, I decided that to bring to your attention that guy. So if you go to the YouTube channel F-E-S-Z Electronics, so FESZ Electronics. It is a good source of understanding the most important for ham radio impedance and transmission lines. I sent to Dr. Roy some information about it. Roy, do you have any comment?
Yeah, I saw a bit of it. I don't know what to tell you, Wes. Different people strike other people in different ways. I found this, I've mentioned more than a few times, I found my voice annoying sometimes when I hear recordings of it. I've kind of grown used to it, thankfully, because of this technical net and other things in amateur radio. I don't like his voice. I don't like his accent. And it's sort of a guy with an annoying voice telling me that water is wet. At least, he did the discussion of strip lines and such. And, maybe if I didn't know what he was talking about, it would hold my interest. But the voice and the stuff I already know just kind of annoyed me a bit. So I never saw him before and probably not going to see him again.
Yes, you're right. He has an accent, but he's a professional. He's a professional in radio, and especially anything that comes to impedance matching and transmission lines. I'm in waveguide, so that is interesting to me. So in one of his videos, he actually made impedance filter that was machined, CNC machined, but it could be machined on the lathe if you want to, and I found that interesting. The next one is, I call it emergency in Newark. Here's a little bit of explanation. That may work perfectly when controlling water flow, but not when some guy having some experience with playing golf and adding fat starts to remove anchoring components of its structure. People responsible for the control and functioning of the dam start to think about the risk of failure and responsibility they will face if there is a catastrophic disaster. Isn't it better to quit now, before they will be fired or lose their benefits, or even worse, if they were arrested and landed in jail? So now we're going to the merits of that. And now think that you are on the board of airplane landing in Newark, New Jersey, knowing that traffic controllers quit just because there were personal cuts and malfunction of radars and computers. So that's what we have in Newark. Widespread delays at Newark Airport as air traffic controllers go on the trauma leave. On Tuesday, we were informed that five traffic controllers in Newark Airport decided to leave the job on paid leave before it's too late for them. And that's the reality of today's time. I forgot to add that there is around 3,000 controller shortage in USA as of today. And another one, so now from Friday. Newark controllers lose radar radio contacts again, Friday. The radar and radio on Newark Airport went black at 3:55 a.m. Friday. This communication breakdown led to air traffic controllers losing radar and radio contact with the pilots of planes they were guiding into Newark Liberty International Airport. So imagine that you are not on autopilot and you're trying to land, and there are two, three guys and controllers supposed to say, you wait and you go, and they don't have it. Can you imagine? Dr. Roy, your comment.
Well, it's long been known that the FAA has a lot of problems. They have not been maintaining their infrastructure. And the controllers have been under trouble since Reagan's time when he busted their union and fired a bunch of them. And recently they fired more of them. So, you know, you could screw up a lot of agencies, and it will probably take a year or two before the world goes to pot. But you can't screw up the FAA and just wait around and wait for planes to fall out of the sky, which they seem to be starting to do. So the problem is that no one's running anything anymore. They're all just kind of taking it as a kind of a, I don't know, as a cosplay or some such. You know, everyone in charge of everything is just some glamour puss from Fox. What can I tell you? So I don't know. Unless or until they get some adults in the room, I don't know what's going to become of the FAA. I would certainly suggest that people stay away from that particular airport, Newark, for the time being until they get part of their act together.
Yes, I don't wish anybody to be in the plane when they lose radio and rudder again. The next one, Bill Gates. Bill Gates used to be the richest person in the planet Earth. Now we have another guy who took his place. But I have a subject that I sent to you in the email. Says, Here is why Bill Gates is giving away most of his remaining fortune to his charity. In other words, he said, I don't want to die rich. Interesting. So he said that he's going to give $200 billion in the period of 20 years, which is 95% of everything he has. And after that, the foundation will be closed. Shocking. It is shocking. Well, you have another guy who is doing everything to be more rich than he is rich. This guy says, you know what? I'm going to give away. Just give away. For better of humanity. Dr. Ray, your comment.
Well, long, long time ago, I had an opinion that Bill Gates was a crafty businessman and signed a lot of deals that were legal but ethically questionable, and some guy got on my case who was an IT professor and something and thought I had insulted God or some such. But Bill Gates is a human being. He has flaws. He has pluses. This is certainly a plus. He's taking a page out of Warren Buffett's book. He got to be very friendly with Warren Buffett over the last 20 years, and I think he learned a lot of wisdom from Warren. And Warren has sort of the same ideals, which is that, you know, you don't just sit on a big pile of money and tell everyone to go away and, do what some of these wealthy bastards are doing, and thinking in terms of buying an island so that you could run your own country or some such, or buy someone else's country. So I'm a big fan these days of Bill Gates. He still did some questionably ethical things in business, but you don't end up with $200 billion from being a moral ethic creature. You cut a couple of corners and do a couple of things that you and I wouldn't do. But still, in the end, I think he's come through rather well. Of all of the guys who kind of Asperger's type, I think he's kind of figured it out better than most of them. The others are just turning into psychotic fascists, and he obviously is not. So I'm a booster for Bill these days.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Xian. Volnaut air bike for you to buy. You can buy it today. The Volnaut air bike, official launch, Polish engineer, Polish. I'm from Poland. Jew from Poland. Polish engineer presents the world's first revolutionary flying bike. And here's something, Anyhow, ever since the major group of animals on the planet Earth invented the automobile, those animals recognized as humans from the group of mammals have never stopped dreaming about flying vehicles. Over the last decade, significant progress has been made in the world of air mobility. But the race is now on to develop efficient personal mobility solutions that can take individuals to the skies like in science fiction movies. The Volnaut, V-O-L-O-N-A-U-T, again V-O-L-O-N-A-U-T, Volnaut, air bike, flying motorbike, is breakthrough in personal air mobility. The futuristic vehicle is realization of both concepts of the inventor, Thomas Patton. This superbike for skies is powered by jet propulsion and is designed to carry one person with the speed of 124 miles per hour. From a cinematic standpoint, it is a beautifully made video. You can see it on YouTube, and it's catching eyes. I assume it cost a lot of money to make that video, and people who make that video must have a proper financial support. So that's what I thought before I read more of it. The Jason 1 is the name of the company, and they sold 500 flying bikes, each one at $128,000. Sales of the first unit generated $60 million in revenue for the company. Permanent sales of Jetson 1, G-E-T-S-O-N 1. Just started. Maciej Kawiecki, an internet creator, asked Tomasz Patton a few questions, and he said, Jetson 1 does not require pilot license, making it particularly attractive to residents of the United States where regulation allows to use such devices without paperwork. So, we know that the price is comparable to luxury cars, and the more common those vehicles, the cheaper they will become. Any comment, Dr. Ray?
Yeah, would you like to buy a very little used bridge I own? I could let you have it for a song.
No, I wouldn't. I would not to buy.
Well, you'd be very smart not to buy it. It'd be very smart not to buy this. I don't see any indication that he sold anything. If you go to the website, it's a very vanilla two-page website that you could anyone out there could put together in about an hour. I think the images are all CGI. I think the thing is a BS project. And how would you feel? It runs on a jet engine, right? So the jet engine appears. There's very little room in it. He's apparently sitting on a jet engine. Could you imagine what it would feel like to sit on a running jet engine?
Yeah, you're right. But the video shows the guy speeding with high speed all around and being on it and flying. So if we say that all the rest is BS, the device exists, and I assume that the quality of the video, because it's an excellent video, was made to attract the buyers, and you say there was no sale yet, back to you.
Yeah, I don't see any record of any sales. And CGI, people have been doing this now for about 5, 6, 10 years. They get some guy, sometimes they actually pay them, sometimes they stiff them. They have them do a beautiful CGI mock-up of the thing that never existed and never will exist. Where do you think they got all the damn camera angles from? You think they had a bunch of drones flying around that were invisible to the viewer? They simply set the computer, told it to do those shark camera angles, and let it run. It's amazing what you could do with a couple of $1,000s worth of computer equipment and a clever guy. There's so many BS CGI advertisements for things that they're promoting for startups and such. This is just yet another one of them. It makes no particular sense. You can't run a jet engine right under your backside. You'll fry your backside. There's something very wonky about the whole darn thing, and I think they kind of got a little too crazy with the creativity with the sharp camera dips and twirls and all the other things that are extremely simple to do on a CGI software. You just tell the camera where to go and it goes any place in space versus, you know, getting a bunch of coordinated drones that aren't visible in the background.
I have different opinion, Dr. Roy, and to actually, the video is real. I'm playing with short films and professional software and cameras that I spent over $20,000 for it for the past 10 years. And I'm in the community. And I can say that this is real. So the flying is real. They hired a professional filmmaker to make that video, but the video is real. And I disagree with what you're saying about sitting on the jet engine. Well, the guys who have a jet engine on their hands, mounted on the side, and they can fly, which is proven and it's not fake. And one of them actually used a similar device to cross the English Channel. And he made the record, Guinness record for it. No, it doesn't come to the point that this is fake. Back to you.
Well, I completely, utterly, and totally disagree with you. There's a big difference between an engine that's insulated, that you're holding on with your hands, and an engine that is insulated, that you're now wearing shoes and socks and all kinds of protective, and you're standing on a platform, versus you're sitting squat on a glorified jet bicycle, and there's a jet engine right below your backside. There's a lot of difference between the two. You're free to have your opinion, and I'm free to have mine. I've putted around with CGI and computer modeling for the better part of 20 years. I started with my Amiga, and I've putted around for many years, and that's my opinion. You can have your own. It's a free country. At least now it is.
Yeah, I solution to that. And to actually, because he speaks Polish, and I speak Polish too. And he's in Poland. And I can contact him. I can talk to him over the phone. I can find more evidence that this is another science fiction or fiction or kind of joke. And after that, I can say on the technique, yes, this is a joke or this is not a joke. Simple like that, but do.
Okay, yeah, let them show. I mean, I find it hard to believe that there's absolutely, positively no simple raw footage. It's that high-gloss, CGI-ish presentation and only that presentation. So, I mean, most other people, most other places, you know, they have outtakes, they have low-rent versions where they just are working on it and they're taking off and they're landing. None of that. This is all, you know, Paramount Presents the Volonaut air bike. So, again, you can talk to him. I don't know him. And him being Polish doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I understand you have a great pride in Poland. You know, my grandparents ran away from that place as fast as their feet can get them. So I have a slightly different perspective on Poland. But nevertheless, I don't know him. I don't know if he's a true guy. I don't know if he's a liar. I don't know who he was. But, you know, show me actual proof, and I'll eat my words. But right now, from basing it from the little information I have, from the stuff on the internet, from the weird quality of the video, from the weird nature of a two-page website, which I could do in my sleep, there's something weird about this organization.
Interesting. Yeah, actually, my family was supposed to leave Poland in 1969. To Israel, but at this time, Russia decided to push Poland to occupy. My parents said it's too late. But anyhow, as far as running from Poland, there were plenty of Polish Jews who ran from Poland. I met a few of them, and I had a good relation with them. The old people who spoke Polish, German, Yiddish, Hebrew, and English. But anyhow, good time. Let me drop it.
Wesley?
Yes.
My grandparents go so far back, they spoke Yiddish and they spoke Russian. For many, many years, my poor father thought he was talking Polish when he was actually repeating their words that were Russian.
Oh. As far as Russian, when I had an office in World Trade Center 1 before 9/11, I had two Russian scientists, and I was forced to learn Russian. I speak Russian the same way as English, or even better. But I learned Russian in here, in the United States. They were so lazy, they didn't want... I mean, I couldn't understand. They come to the pre-war, to United States of America, and they didn't want to learn English. But anyhow, maybe those particular Russians. But anyhow, I've learned Russian and I speak Russian pretty well. Back to you.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're both Slavic languages with common roots. It's sort of like the difference between Portuguese and Spanish. My father, every so often, he would use this expression that he must have learned from his parents. He would say, Penyamai Peruski. And he went to his death thinking that meant, do you understand Polish, when it actually is Russian for, do you understand Russian?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't hurt. I would never go to Russia. I'm not a particular lover of the climate they have. Climate in strict understanding and climate in... No, how to say, imaginary form, right? It's nothing that I like there. Anyhow, the next one, this is for Dr. Roy. If you had a chance to read my email, Robot with Human Brain Created by Chinese Researchers. Back to you.
Yeah, I hate to play the skeptic again and again and again, but I mean, it's the cards you dealt me. I looked this thing up. The initial publication is a newspaper from China, which I don't trust. It was reprinted by a bunch of rags throughout the world, including your favorite, the New York Post. It's not been written up in any scientific journal known to mankind, as far as I could see. So it's basically a BS story. I don't know why it's a BS story, but you know, China is getting to be somewhat infamous for their BS stories. You know, a couple of years ago, it was the nuclear battery that would last forever, and they started to make a little bit of noise about that, the Korean superconductor that's at room temperature. So, you know, if it's not published in a real scientific journal, it doesn't really exist. Newspapers certainly don't count. The New York Post certainly doesn't count for anything factual. So, unfortunately, I don't believe any of it.
Enterexia. Well, Chinese gave us COVID. I wonder, isn't any justice in the world? There are conflicting information, but some of those information is that COVID was invented or made in a Chinese lab and escaped. Because of somebody's action, or escaped because there was some malfunctions, whatever it was. And now we have artificial brain with interface. So, in other words, the article says that scientists were able to combine brain organoids with neural interface chip to power the robot and teach it to perform various tasks. From the point, the standpoint of ethics, how is that, Dr. Rush?
Well, I don't really want to address the ethics. It's kind of absurd. Do you know how stable nerve cells are? Do you know what happens if I take some poor schnook and I stop his blood flow going to his brain? Do you know how many minutes he has before he dies? And all those brain cells, they need sugar, they need oxygen, and they need it in perpetuality. And, you know, this whole mock-up setup is written by people who don't have the faintest idea of neuroanatomy and neurophysiology. So, again, it is inherently deeply flawed. You require a significant support system to maintain nerve cells out of a body. So the idea that someone just cultured some nerve cells, planted it on the top of a robot, and put some wires in it is real bad science fiction. I'd rather not touch the ethics, because that's a whole different ball of wax. That's kind of pointless. Again, it was never written up by any kind of science journal whatsoever. It was never peer reviewed. It was an announcement in a Chinese newspaper of dubious quality that was simply carbon copied across the world in the yellow rag newspapers that don't care about the truth. They just care about sensationalism. So, you know, it would be like reading an article from the old National Enquirer and believing that it was true. It makes no sense at all. It defies logic as far as I understand neurophysiology, neuroanatomy, and such. And I'm sure there's not a bunch of people out there writing in newspapers who know that. So.
Yeah, I love your skepticism, and I hope you are right. I mean, you are professional, and you know better. So we don't have to talk about ethics. We are human beings, right? Animals. And mammals. And I remember my father, who was teaching mathematics, physics, and chemistry. It was better than me. He said, you know what? Chinese, for a certain period of time, I was forced to be around them. There are so many people, they die, nobody cares. Nobody cares that you hurt or whatsoever, because they see all of those images every day. So, we're talking about a culture. It's nothing wrong with Chinese, absolutely not. It is just different culture that was exposed to a not really life that we have in the United States. And they became less sensitive to certain things. You know what I'm talking about. Back to you.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between, Han racial ethnicity and people who grew up in the Chinese People's Republic. Mao Zedong probably killed more people than Hitler and Stalin and Pol Pot combined. And they were all his own Han racial ethnic group. So unfortunately, if you decimate a population, you teach the survivors to kind of cut corners and do anything to survive. You see a lot of that in Russia as well. There's a lot of guys who just kind of cut every angle that they can. They cut in line. They cheat and steal and do whatever they need to survive, because of the moral imperative that they and their family must survive despite everything. So, unfortunately, when you have these sadistic cultures that kill their own population on a whim, you create generation after generation of people who will poison baby formula to make a good living and such. And so it's a terrible thing that the people of China have been forced into, and hopefully eventually will find a way out of that. But until it does, it's a terrible place, unfortunately. Buildings collapse right, left, and center because no one actually puts any pride in making stuff, and they cut corners and fill concrete with sand and all kinds of stuff. They have rebars that are basically hollow. So it's a mess in China. I mean, we're kind of at a soft core war with them, and unfortunately they're going through it the ride. Things are crappy in China, and I feel bad for the people. I don't feel terrible for the Chinese Communist Party. I think they should all be kind of shoved off a roof someplace. But, life isn't fair, Wesley, unfortunately. If there's one thing you learn in this life, it's that ultimately life is not fair.
Yeah, my grandma said many times, I remember that. She was talking about how many members of the family were killed in Auschwitz-Birkenau. But at the same time, she said, you know what? Your father is right. The yellow race is gonna take over the Europe. Memorize my words. But anyhow, I wish them the best. The next one. We have, if I'm not mistaken, 70% of all places in American universities are taken by Asian. They have money, they're intelligent, they have a knowledge, and many of them do not intend to stay in here, especially now, at this time. Back to you.
Well, I think your statistics are wonky. I don't think it's anything close to 70%. The Chinese, the wealthy party members do send their kids here as a matter of prestige. Other times, it's actually legitimately very smart people who don't have quite those connections, and some of them actually stay. We basically pull that on the entire world. We have been brain draining the world for the greatest minds for centuries. If you go looking at American Nobel laureates, you will find that a lot of them were born in other countries but came to study and then to stay and then to win Nobel Prizes. I fear that this might be changing again because of the nature of politics, and we'll be throwing out the baby with the bathwater and losing our innovative, brilliant immigrants. The guy running Google is from India, I believe, and you could find loads of that. I mean, good old Elon is from South Africa. You can go down a laundry list of people who weren't born in the United States. So, that's just the nature of things.
Is EEV Blog. Now, EEV Blog, the guy is over 20 years making videos. A very talented Australian engineer,
He has also his blog, his a forum, and the guy is really a practitioner. But I didn't like when he went to the science, because he was more, how to say it gently, he was a practitioner with the good skills, having not much, that's my personal opinion, not much to do with science, not much to do with the explanation of the phenomena. But anyhow, he made a video, let me jump. So EEV blog on YouTube, you can go there, quite interesting for the people who want to repair something or wants to find out what is inside of your oscilloscope, spectrum analyzer, network vector analyzer, whatsoever. But he made a video about sound waves. And here's the interesting thing. Sunways is a Swiss startup. So we have a Switzerland, we have a Swiss startup, and this Sunways company developed a way to install removable solar panels between the rails on the train tracks. And they say 500,000 kilometers, 500,000 kilometers is approximately 250,000 miles. That's the area they can put their panels. The panels can collect solar power even with trains using the railway through the day. However, the Swiss Transport Ministry has derailed plans to carpet Switzerland railway tracks with solar panels. Well, it's not that it's forbidden for them to do that. But we have a certain cause, dirt, vibration, human excrement from toilet inside the train, and additional cost of track repair and cleaning. They even develop a special machine to remove those parts temporarily when you need to make a repair. So I was interested with the dirt, human waste, because in the old time, we remember that those toilets in the trains, everything goes on the railway. So yes, the train toilets used to empty onto tracks in the past. The traditional method of disposing human waste from trains was to deposit the waste on the tracks. I'm not sure how it is right now in the United States, but anyhow, I was interested with Europe, because Europe is like the old civilization. Everything was like starting from over there. So I went to British toilets. The British toilets, train toilets, still empty on the track. Unfortunately, the answer is yes, it does. In 2017, report indicated about 25% of the train operators in UK were still dumping toilet waste on the railway. Now imagine that you have solar panels there. But Switzerland, the Swiss precision, that's what the whole mechanics seems to be at most perfect form. Swiss trains do not deposit all human waste on the trail, but it says all human waste. It doesn't say any human waste. In modern trains, there are often composing toilet tanks that use bacterial action to break down solid and liquid waste, releasing only the sterilized liquid onto the track bed, while older trains used to dump waste directly onto tracks. The practice is no longer common in the new design. So I'm not sure how those guys, the Swiss company, wants to put the solar panels on 500 1,000 kilometers of the Swiss railroad. Back to you for your comment, Dr. Roy.
Okay, it's skeptical time once again. Sunways is not a Swiss company. Sunways is a Chinese company. And they have solar cell manufacturers have been promoting putting solar cells all over the friggin' place. It used to be a big thing to put it in the road. So you put it in the road, and then you had batteries that were underground, and then you could supply charging stations for electric vehicles. It never panned out.